Week 8. That's week 7. That'll be week 8 enough, soon enough. It's week 7. Time to go around the AFC North. Talk about two of the three teams that have a shot to go to the playoffs. And there's us. But we fleeced the Bills, apparently.
Is that it?
Our 1-5 football
Laser
team,
eyes?
We fleeced the Bills. Laser eyes, man. Way we go to Baltimore. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they get ready to take on, Tampa Bay on Monday night. Oh, who they're playing against. Hi, Bob.
Hello, fellas. What's up?
Is Derrick Henry still the best in the league?
He's playing like it. I mean, this guy's on a mission to prove that you thought he was washed up or he and Lamar couldn't coexist, that everyone was wrong. I mean, he's on pace to rush for almost 1,900 yards, pushing 15, 20 TDs. He's still a stud. I mean, at 30 years old, will he have this juice later in the season? I mean, it doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon.
Well, the offense in general, Bob, when you've got the running game going like this, does it look like it's changed drastically from maybe what has been there in the past? Are they really going to start riding Henry that much more, like a workhorse?
Well, last couple of weeks, Lamar's been throwing a lot because they've been in kind of these shootout situations. Cincinnati 2 weeks ago, and Jaden Daniels kept Washington in the game last week. The previous two games before the last two, Lamar had only thrown the ball 33 times combined, but he's been airing it out over 26 against Washington, over 40 against Cincinnati. Lamar mentioned the fact that this year's offense is efficient like it was back in 19, where you have the great running game, which they do again, and they're able to successfully complete passes. Lamar's completing almost 68% of his throws, only two picks. And, you know, Andrews had 9 targets in the, first 3 weeks of the season. He's had 9 the last 2 weeks with a touchdown, 7 catches, 8 Flowers is putting up some big numbers. They're kind of pick your poison, to quote Lamar and Derrick Henry, offensively right now.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Is there a possibility the Texans could send you guys Stephon Diggs at all?
I don't know if that would be a move that would fit Eric DaCosta's profile, because I don't know if they really need a receiver right now. As we said, Zay Flowers stepping up big time. Rashad Bateman is now making a play or two a week. Likely Andrews, you're stacked at tight end. I don't think wide receiver right now would be an area of concern for them. The secondary's been the big concern for Baltimore, 31st in pass defense. Marcus Williams has been terrible at the back end, and Brandon Stevens, you know, he covers well, but his ball skills leave a lot to be desired. Those two players are the ones taking most of the criticism from the fan base here lately.
So that is the Devontae Adams thing. It does nothing for you, terms of like going out and getting like, not that you take the Jets seriously or anything, but like in an arms race, you know what I mean?
Nah, I don't think wide receiver, even Cooper to Buffalo, you know, is making anyone lose sleep over here. Ravens could use like another offensive lineman, maybe a guard like everyone else in the league. But secondary, pass rusher, they just got Ngakoue up after he got a sack against Washington. Secondary, in their inability to be consistent, is kind of a concern. Look, they brought Dean Pease out of retirement to be an analyst or an advisor, excuse me, for Zach Gore. That's where the problems lie. Outside of run defense, where they're number one, they're mediocre, or less than mediocre, in pretty much every defensive category. Right,
I'm going to have to text you a joke that a person had about Dean Pease during coming in hot years ago, which obviously I'm sure you know where it would go. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, joining us as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night. We go to Cincinnati and Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they come on up here at 1 p.m. on Sunday to face our Cleveland Browns. Is it because the Browns are 1-5 that you may be feeling different, or is it, this team's weird, they're kind of like a ghost, a boogeyman for us? How do you take this game and getting ready for this game as a Bengals connoisseur, Mo?
I think you cannot ignore the recent history between the two teams, which is obviously very heavily tilted toward the Cleveland Browns. I think if you were going into this game feeling like, dude, all we've got to do is show up. I mean, first of all, I think that's how a lot of people felt when they played the Patriots at home week 1. Didn't work out. I think it's how a lot of people felt when they played the Washington Commanders, who have turned out to be a lot better than people thought, but I think that's how a lot of people felt about the game against the Commanders week three. Didn't work out, and so this team simply isn't good enough. I mean, despite winning on Sunday night, to just feel like they can show up and beat a wounded team. That said, I do think there is a great sense of opportunity here, not just to get a victory, but to twist the knife, extend the misery, and if there is any hope in Cleveland, and you guys could speak to whether or not there is, extinguish it once and for all. But, yeah, look, the Browns have had the Bengals' number. Joe Burrow hasn't played well against Cleveland, and there is a sense of if it can go wrong against the Browns for the Bengals, it will. And so we'll see if it does on Sunday.
Hope for what are you talking about?
I have no idea. You know, I mean, I have no idea what you guys are clinging to up there. But I guess one might convince themselves if they can get this win on Sunday that perhaps they could use it as a jumping off point. And I know Bengals fans are hoping that they extinguish that possibility on Sunday.
Would you feel better or worse if Jameis Winston were starting for the Browns?
I would feel worse from the standpoint of, I mean, first of all, the quarterback play can't get any worse. And secondly, I don't know. I guess you would feel like, you know, maybe the locker room would be energized and maybe you would get a more spirited effort by the Cleveland Browns. I think with Deshaun Watson, you sort of know what the team is. And I'm sure you guys have talked about this a ton. I've got to think it's so deflating for the rest of the guys to see the continued insistence on playing Deshaun Watson. And so what I would fear would be Jameis plays, and that sends at least a small surge of energy through the team that translates into a spirited effort on Sunday.
How do the fans feel about the season Joe Burrow is having? He's had some big numbers in some games, also made critical missed throws and interception that's pretty memorable so far this year. Overall, the Joe Burrow experience.
I think fans look at the numbers and go, boy, he is having an MVP caliber season, or at least a season in line with when he was an MVP finalist in 2022. And if you look at his numbers, you know, we did this exercise going into the game on Sunday. If you look at his numbers relative to 2 years ago, he's having a better season. But at the end of the day, all anybody cares about are wins and losses. And I don't think anybody looks at their record and says it's Joe Burrow's fault. But it does temper the enthusiasm and the appreciation for the season the guy has had. And so, you know, I think if you ask most Bengals fans to talk about Joe Burrow this season, they'll say, well, he's having a nice year, but so what? It really only matters in the context of winning and losing, and the Bengals have done more losing than winning so far this year.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Well, do they find that Zach Taylor may be on the hot seat, or is that just an impossibility because of Mike Brown?
I would be, I'll say this. They examined whether or not they should fire him after his second season. You know, Mike Brown issued a statement 2 days after the season ended saying Zach is coming back. He has never done that. So that would tell you, and I could speak just from, you know, the standpoint of having to talk to people in the organization, it was on the table. Do we bring this guy back for year three? Since then, obviously, he's won 5 playoff games. I think I've said this to you guys before. If Marvin Lewis got 16 years without winning a playoff game, Zach Taylor might get 80. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that maybe there are some coaching staff changes if this goes poorly and if the losing continues. What that might mean for Zach Taylor in terms of a leash for next season, I don't know. At the end of the day, the guy who wields all the power is number 9. If Joe Burrow goes up to Mike Brown's office and says, I want a new head coach, chances are the Bengals are going to have a new head coach. And if Joe Burrow says defiantly, I'm only playing for Zach Taylor, then Zach Taylor probably has a job for life. But I don't know that it is as cut and dry as, well, Mike Brown's the owner and he doesn't fire anybody, because it was discussed. And if it was discussed after year two being so disappointing, I think there is a point that they could get to this season where it would be discussed after year 6.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they get set to take on our Cleveland Browns Sunday, 1 p.m. You can hear it here, right here on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. We head to Pittsburgh. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Is Mike Tomlin really going to have Russell Wilson start on Sunday?
Well, I sure think so, and he's making a mistake.
What is he thinking? Seriously, is that like, as it's like, oh, he's never going to really be committed. Why would he? Why? Why would he do that?
I don't know. He seems to think, here's the only calculation I can make. If he's actually doing like the, you know, back of the napkin math here, and there's not just, you know, oh, I promised this guy before we even traded for Justin Fields that he would be the starter, and so I'm going to uphold that promise, which is probably the real reason that he's doing it, but that's a stupid reason to put somebody in the lineup when you're 4-2 and your quarterback hasn't been great, but also hasn't, by any stretch of the imagination, been terrible. The only thing you could possibly say is that maybe he thinks Russell Wilson is going to improve their passing game so much that it's going to offset all the things they lose by putting Justin Fields on the bench, which is broken plays can turn into 15-yard runs, which is you can call design runs, you know, stuff that he just does well, that he's been doing well really the whole time he's been in the lineup. You got to think that Russell Wilson's going to turn this into like the greatest show on turf. Spoiler alert, he's not. They also are going to be without their best lineman at least this week, maybe next week. That's Zach Frazier. He's been rock solid. So you're going to tell me that with a guy making his first NFL start at center, and then the rest of the line has been kind of iffy for the majority of the year, that you're going to put a less mobile guy who doesn't throw over the middle, who really, I would say last year, his numbers looked good but wasn't that great of a player. You're going to put him in and think you're going to get better? Good luck with that, man.
Is there something about Mike Tomlin, his conservative tendencies, that he's looking at Russell Wilson, someone who at least will run the plays, who will know the reads, as opposed to Justin Fields, who may still have difficulty at this stage of his career doing that stuff?
Probably in his head, yeah. Like he thinks, and Wilson probably should have more command of the offense, I guess, because he's been around longer. Tomlin loves the whole idea. He said this yesterday. He loves the whole idea of just giving veterans a lot of leeway and, you know, Russ can get up to speed and get on our moving train here very quickly and so on. Russ holds the ball longer than any quarterback in the league just about. He and Fields were like the two top guys in the league last year. So how quickly is he really reading these defenses is what I would want to ask Mike Tomlin. I think he's going to be better than Fields in play action, but that's about it. Like, I don't know what kind of agency they're going to give him or what kind of opening up of the playbook could possibly happen that would make them think that Russell Wilson's a better option. About the only thing I think he definitively does better than Fields is throw a really good deep ball, but Fields throws a pretty good one too. And last I checked, George Pickens is about double covered every time he goes down the field.
So no Davante Adams. Pony's wrong again. He ends up going to the Jets, who will be playing you on Sunday night. I imagine Davante Adams, now that he's going to be magically healed, will be in the lineup for the New York Jets for him. Is there another wide receiver you would go after this whole George Pickens mess? I imagine that's going to be taken care of here within the coming weeks.
Pony's wrong again. What does that mean? Day that ends in Y?
Yeah.
I want them to go look at Darius Slayton from the Giants. Pretty cheap, pretty solid number two type guy, profiles like that. I've said Slayton from the beginning, I think would be a solid player. Pony got on my case yesterday and said, well, he's not going to be a super difference maker. Well, how many of these guys are? Like, maybe Adams would have been fine. Maybe Amari Cooper, who wouldn't have been traded here because it would have been intra-division, would have been. But Slayton is a solid player who is a major upgrade over anybody they've got that isn't George Pickens.
I'm looking at the running numbers for Pittsburgh, and it's kind of back to the problems you guys had had, you know, before really last year. I mean, Najee Harris, 3.9 per carry. Jaylen Warren, 3 yards a carry. Is that something that they can fix by the end of the year?
Harris has been that guy. I mean, he had probably the best game of his career against the Raiders. Warren's been hurt, so I think that explains a lot of his problems. This is very sad. They really miss Cordarrelle Patterson right now. The guy's had like 20 carries or whatever it is. Every one of his carries has looked like the best carry they've gotten from a back this year because he knows how to run an Arthur Smith system. But their offensive line, I think this will be their sixth or seventh different combination because of injuries. So they've got no consistency going on that front. And it's just been a problem. I mean, they're back to playing this incredibly tedious style of football more often than not, where they're relying on the defense to force turnovers. The offense is plotting. When Fields is out there, it at least has his running dimension. But they just are continuing to – it's like if you guys were watching, you know, one of those Utopia pictures of like flying cars, right? And then the Steelers, that's everyone else's offense. That's like Detroit's offense. And then the Steelers are just discovering tools made of stone and maybe thinking about discovering fire one of these days.
Have you seen our offense?
Dude, when I read things like worst quarterback of the millennium, when I read things like getting into Jamarcus Russell territory, can I ask you a serious question?
Do you know our lead scorer? Let me tell you something. Our lead scorer co-host on this show on Tuesdays. He's a
McLeod.
Safety.
He's got. No, I know.
Okay.
What does your co-host do?
Yeah.
He probably thinks he could coach the team better. Let me ask you guys something seriously, though, because I've wanted to know this. Stefanski says, no, we're going with Watson. Do you guys think that Kevin Stefanski in his heart of hearts wants to do this or is being forced to do it by Jimmy Haslam?
There's no chance he wants to do this anymore.
Like, you guys actually might be interesting if Jameis Winston's in there. He might throw four picks in a game. He also might throw six touchdowns in that same game.
If he wants to do it, if he wants to do it, if it's, well...
It's a fireable offense if he objectively, as a coach, wants to keep playing this guy. Like, I think everyone basically wants to send Deshaun Watson's NFL career to the glue factory, do they not?
Whoa. I mean...
We still have some defenders in town, believe it or not. Very few, but they still are very vocal.
I just feel that they're...
What are they defending him on? Like,
that's everybody else's fault. It's a coach's fault. It's a bad system.
Yeah, but that's a lot of minority. Come on. Those folks are out of touch with reality. Look at this.
He was 11-12 in the second half.
Right.
Is he calling in under several different assumed names to defend himself?
People think he has several burner accounts. I think that those are fans messing with people.
Go ahead. What's the one burner account?
We might have a George Pickens burner account in town. His name is Michael Brewerly on Twitter.
Oh, we have Leroy Bickerstaff. That's what it is. Leroy Bickerstaff. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh as the Steelers get set to take on the Jets on Monday night.